Good morning. What a happy sound to hear all this conversation and friendship. Welcome. We're so glad you're here and that you braved the weather to be here. And we especially welcome those of you who are visiting for the first time or for the first time in a while. We're so glad you're here. And we invite all of you to take a few moments this morning to fill out this connection card. There's a front side and a back side, and there will be a chance to put it in the offering plate later this morning. It will help us connect with you and connect you to each other and to opportunities. Speaking of opportunities in our congregation, I invite you to spend a little bit of time this morning looking at our announcements in our bulletin insert. Several opportunities for ministry coming up quite soon. And I want to just highlight a couple of our announcements. One is that this morning is our annual financial meeting where we celebrate our ministry and vote to approve the funding of that ministry for this year. So it's a good time. I know budget talk doesn't sound like it, but it really is. And we have a lot to celebrate and to affirm. And following that brief meeting, we will then enjoy a potluck lunch together. This is in the fellowship hall. Children and youth will keep a portion of their regular Sunday morning schedules during the meeting, and then we'll join their families for lunch around 12:15. Also, for undergraduate and graduate students, our campus ministry program, which is called The Gathering and has typically met on Wednesday evenings, has shifted our meeting day just for this semester because of student schedule conflicts. So we are now meeting on Sunday evenings at 5 o'clock in the campus center. Those of you who are in the group already, we hope to see you there. But if you haven't come before, this evening is a great time to come in out of the cold and get some yummy home-cooked food and enjoy some friendship. I invite you to read the rest of the announcements at your leisure. God's power is already present among us and even within us. In these moments of worship, we have an opportunity to be attentive to that power and that presence, to open ourselves more completely to it, and to lift our lives together into the powerful love of a loving God. So let us worship.
Thank you. Please stand if you're able. Let us pray. All-knowing and powerful God, creator of heaven and earth, creator of this divine day, let us open our hearts to your wondrous love. Open our ears to your splendorous life symphonies. Open our eyes to the truth of your kindness, that we may grow stronger together in your grace, today and forever, through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are telling the glory of God, the skies proclaim God's handiwork.
Every day tells news, every night declares knowledge.
God's law is perfect, reviving the soul. God's command is clear, enlightening the eyes.
But who of us can detect our own errors, clear me from hidden faults?
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Corinthians. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continuing in praise and prayer, I want to invite you to make a response as part of our prayers in the first half of the prayers of the people. After each prayer, I will say, "We pray," and together we will say, "God, fill us with the power of your Spirit." So I say, "We pray," and we say, "God, fill us with the power of your Spirit." Let us pray. God of wisdom, love, and truth, Mother and Father of us all, we praise you for your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness, and your love. As we humbly ask for every blessing you seek to give, we pray, God, fill us with the power of your Spirit. You call us to restore that which is broken and to proclaim your vision of a world made new. Create in us new hearts and strong voices and lives as we pray. God, fill us with the power of your Spirit. We pray for the leaders of our nation and of all nations, that they may attend to the voices of their people and be guided by wisdom and justice. We pray, God, fill us with the power of your Spirit. We pray for those who are homeless, hungry, imprisoned, poor, or vulnerable, and for ourselves, that we would open our hearts to their need as well as to your presence shining in them. We pray, God, fill us with the power of your Spirit. We pray for those with illness, injury, or other physical challenges, and for those with spiritual, emotional, or mental struggles. Make us agents of healing and hope, we pray. God, fill us with the power of your Spirit. We pray for those who are marginalized, oppressed, persecuted, or captive to forces beyond their control. Give us the courage to proclaim and to work for your liberation, we pray. God, fill us with the power of your Spirit. We also pray special prayers now for those in our congregation and in our hearts who are in particular need. We pray for Julie Smith, Peter Beauvais, Jean Evie, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Ron and Donna Tipton, Wilma Duke, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Bob Simpson, Anna Kirstein, Saw Nae Lin, Judy Stratman, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Marissa Alanese, for Jesse, Dawn, Gloria, Carol, Terry, for Jim Terrace, and for William Grapentine as he begins a new job. We also pray the private prayers of our own lives in silence. God of joy, liberation, and hope, even in our brokenness and our differences from each other, you make us the body of the risen Christ. Unite us by your love for us and for all, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might share the gifts of your grace with the world. We pray all these things in the power of Jesus' name. He taught us how to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you're able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel. This passage from the Gospel of Luke describes the very beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and all you children, come forward. It is your time.
Rates up a little bit in worship. That's good. That's good. Can you feel your heart? Pastor Paul just read a story about Jesus. Jesus is hanging out where he was brought up, like you guys are here at church. And he's given the scroll to read, and a specific part to read. Katarina, would you come and read that for us? A version of that.
God's Spirit is here. I have good news to tell. God wants everyone to be free. I'm going to help now.
When Jesus reads that scroll, those words, it's from way back in the scriptures in Isaiah. And there's this part in there, it talks about anointing. And anointing was something that was done for prophets who showed the way to God and kings. Pastor Stacy was just anointed at the workshop she was at all week. Anointing is getting you ready for important work. And there's oil in here. And I'm going to put a little bit of oil on my thumb, and I'm going to touch your head. And we're going to say these words together. God's Spirit is here with us now. I'm going to say some of those lines because you know what? You too are anointed for really important work. That work we hear Jesus speak about today.
you pray with me, please? O Spirit, be in the words that are spoken, and be in our hearing, that we may be renewed, that we may be changed, that we may be empowered to live in your way. Amen. Years ago, I was in a vocational quandary. A church had started talking to me, asking me to come and be their pastor. The problem was I was already a pastor where I was living, and so it meant leaving, and I felt the pull of a new place, and I felt the pull of staying where I already was. And I was torn. I sought out a good friend to talk it through. And he asked me a question I was unprepared for. He said, "What is the mission of your life?" And he invited me to consider the question, the issue I had, in light of the question, "What is my life's mission?" Well, I didn't much care for that. I couldn't figure that out. I took some days. I came up with a statement that I thought might say what my life's mission was, but it was stupid enough. I'm not about to tell you what it was. And frankly, I don't think it was all that helpful. But it got me thinking. Is there a mission to a human life? To my life? Well, the word mission, frankly, sounds too narrow to me and maybe presumptuous. But what if I change the word just a little to the word purpose? Does a human life have a particular purpose? And if so, would that be something we select from a menu of choices? Or does God lay a particular purpose on us and equip us for it and call us to it? Wouldn't it be enough to make it more general, as in, our purpose is to be a good human being? In my case, to be a good dad, be a good husband, a good pastor, a good friend, to live in the world as somebody who is honest, kind, loving, and who makes a difference for good. Surely that is the purpose of us all. Maybe so. But is there more to be discerned about your purpose or mine? So, one morning long ago, in a worship service, a man announced to the congregation the purpose of his life. The man was about 30 years old, and he had known these people all his life, and they knew him, Jesus, son of Joseph. Lately, he'd been traveling some, and while he was away, some rumors started circulating that he was out there preaching from town to town and that he was good. It was powerful. Some who heard him were being changed. Some were even being healed of illnesses and afflictions. Well, those were the rumors, but surely they were exaggerated. I mean, he lived just down the street. He's been one of the kids in town. They saw him with his skinned knees running around with the rest of the kids. Now he had been a laborer for some years, did carpentry around town. Surely there was something special about him. But the rumors, well, Anyway, he's back. And here he is at the synagogue, right where he's been almost every Sabbath of his life. And now the leader of the service that morning smiles at him and invites him to come do the reading for the day. He comes up, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah is handed to him. He unrolls the scroll to the passage he wants and begins to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He gave back the scroll. The eyes of everybody there were fixed on him, and then he told them all, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Which is to say, in part, this is what I'm going to be doing with my life. The vision from scripture about taking good news to poor people, telling captives they're free, opening the eyes of the blind, and liberating people who are oppressed, that's what God calls me to do and empowers me to do. That is my purpose. Now let's face it, his life and our lives are not the same at all. He is the Messiah, for crying out loud. Everything about him is for this colossal, focused purpose. The story's about him. It's not about you. It's not about me, except that it is about us. If we mean to be his in any meaningful way, if we say we are followers of Jesus, then our mission is a participation in his mission, which he has just described. So our purpose, too, is liberation for the oppressed, opening blind eyes, releasing captives, bearing the best of news to the poor. It's all about compassion and inclusion and dignity and healing and empowerment, people finding freedom and people getting justice. This is relational stuff. It is personal, spiritual stuff. It is also public and social and political stuff. How could it not be when the purpose stated by Jesus is concerning the poor and the oppressed? This is Christ's calling to let our lives truly be about love. And as Cornel West has said, justice is what love looks like in public. And so, yes, if Christians want to have a conversation about whether or not our lives have a purpose beyond being good people, we can't get around this, that Jesus said his mandate is for the poor, the captives, the impaired, the oppressed, and our mission is a participation in his. Participation in his purpose, of course, is not the same as doing it all or trying to achieve his purpose in the very ways that he did. What it does mean is that no matter what any of us perceives our life purpose to be, It has to include somehow making the world better, especially for those who are in great need. And if it's to be done in the spirit of Christ, who happens to be the Lord of joy, then the particular shape of your purpose will fit you well and will give you joy. Frederick Buechner said this about discerning what work is ours to do, which refers not just to career, but to a larger sense of our purpose in life. He says, "The kind of work God usually calls you to is the kind of work, A, that you need to do, and B, that the world needs doing. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." The good news, too, is that we've got freedom in discerning and deciding what the calling on our lives is going to look like. We live in the privilege of partnership with God in pursuing a purpose for our living. We are not without choices. And we are free as time goes on to make changes to arrive at a new sense of purpose. You can be really old and discover a new sense of purpose this very day. Thomas Merton said this: "Each one of us has some kind of vocation to fulfill our destiny, to be what God wants us to be. But we must not imagine that we only discover that destiny by a game of hide and seek with divine providence. Our vocation is not a riddle that we must solve in one guess. Our destiny is the work of two wills, God's will and our own. It's not an unchangeable fate forced upon us. Our vocation is the interaction of two freedoms, two loves." So, friends, with all my heart, I believe there is a purpose for my life. And I believe there is a purpose for yours. That it is fluid, creative, perfectly suited for your gifts and your passions, and always a participation in the liberating, world-changing purpose of Christ. The only remaining question is, how do any of us find the power to fulfill our purpose and to remain faithful to it as our lives go by? Because the truth is, as you very well know, nobody says that living our purpose is going to be easy. All around us and also within us, there is a great deal that may oppose and resist the liberating purpose of Christ in us and through us. We grow tired, discouraged, frustrated, confused. It is so easy to slip away into numbness, indifference, a sense of being a failure. How do we escape that and keep the fire in our bones, our passion, our discipline for fleshing out what we come to believe is the purpose for our being here? I cannot speak for you, but I have largely found the source in community, in you. and people like you. The community of Christ, my sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers, who are for me the church. Isn't that where he said it? Said what his purpose was in a congregation at worship, just as we are at worship this morning, where he speaks to us together now. And you recall that he was reading from the community's book, the Bible. He was reading stirring visionary words that were already theirs. Just as he calls us together from our book, this community's book today. Listen, I cannot fulfill the purpose of my life on my own. Neither can you. We need each other. We need the Christ who meets us in each other to encourage, to cheer, to listen, to help, to remind and inspire and partner together and pick up when we've fallen. William James said, "The only happy people I ever knew were those who found a cause to serve that was greater than themselves." But if it's a cause greater than myself, I cannot serve it by myself. And the power to live in your purpose is the power to be found in the beloved community and in the Christ who meets us powerfully in each other. It was in the community that day that he stood, and in the river of memories of his community, as he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And when you and I are joined together in common purpose here, or when we are together in our friendships out there, we may hear that word as well and find it's our word also to say. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. You know you're here to change the world, don't you? Rise to your calling. Be gratefully joined to the sisters and brothers who are called with you, each to a different part, but all of us one. And here is Jesus among us still, perhaps adding the word that he added that day when he had finished reading the word and closed the book. His first word was, "Today. Today, it's fulfilled. So let's go on. And let it be today that we lay claim to our purpose, each of us, and all of us together. Amen." The door swings open now, as in fact it does for us every day, to make new offerings of ourselves to the love of God upon our lives. We give with offerings that we have brought. We give with the offering of who we are. Let this be our glad and generous worship. you have made us for your own. You have gifted us, set us free, empowered us to live as your own children. Make us unafraid to do so always, and confident in your blessing and calling upon our lives, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Embrace the truth now that this love and this calling is laid upon us together, will you then extend the peace of Christ to each other? The peace of Christ be with you.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you.
May God's face shine upon you. May God be gracious to you.
May God give you grace to love with all your heart.
That you may do justice.
To love with all your soul.
That you may show kindness.
To love with all your mind.
That you may walk humbly with your God.
Friends, go from this place to love the Lord your God with all your might.
And love your neighbor.